I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Trevor Woods here from the Block M Podcast, an affiliate of the Fan First Sports Network. Today, we are previewing Michigan's biggest game of the season and a big one for Penn State as well. Michigan heads on the road to Penn State. Never an easy place to get a victory, and it's going to come if the Wolverines do win against a pretty darn good Nittany Lions squad. To preview this matchup, we're going to get some perspective from Penn Live's David Jones. David, pleasure to have you on today. How are you doing?
Great, Trevor. It's a beautiful day in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and it's a great day here, but glad to have it. Glad to have some good football this Saturday.
So but then, Trevor, it's Michigan.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the Nittany Lions, they are, as I said, 8-1 on the season. They had a tough loss in a close game. They lost 20-12 a few weeks back against Ohio State. Their only defeat this season. Since then, they had, which turned out to be a very close game against IU, a final score of 33-24 in favor of Penn State. And then last week, an absolute whooping over the Maryland's 51-15. So my first question to you, David, is since that Ohio State loss, as I said, that game against IU, I had a chance to see it. Definitely a nail biter for a while. And then last week, annihilation of the Terrapins. Can you evaluate Penn State since that Ohio State loss?
I don't think they showed up for Indiana, especially the defense. And Indiana's run defense is the worst in the Big Ten. Penn State couldn't appreciably run the ball that well. It was just they got up 24-10. I think they took their foot off the gas, thought it was over. It wasn't over. And it's not as if Indiana is a team that you got to watch out for. They didn't think they had to watch out before they knew it was 24-24. And if Tom Allen doesn't just essentially go for a field goal with a hot quarterback and Brendan Sorsby, they could have had the lead. I think they should have had the lead, but he just basically played for a football, for a field goal with a football at the 21-yard line and first and 10 with a hot quarterback. And, so Drew Aller, who had thrown a horrible interception the play before, got back on the field, gathered himself, and drove them 75 yards in three plays. The last one was a 54-yard touchdown to Keandre Lambert-Smith, which was the best ball he had thrown in weeks. He came back last week and looked like the monkey was off his back. He looked better than he has since the West Virginia game. He looked like the quarterback a lot of people had expected, but it's Maryland, and we know from the Big Ten. I mean, you get past Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan, there really isn't much in this league. Iowa is all defense. I think Rutgers is probably the fifth best team in the league after that. And then you just have slop. I've been covering the Big Ten for 35 years. I grew up in Ohio. I went to Ohio State. I've got family members from all over the Big Ten. Fred Jackson is my brother-in-law. You probably didn't know that. And my nephew played quarterback at Maryland. My father-in-law went to Michigan State. I know this league, and I have never seen it this sloppy and bad since the old days of Woody and Bo. And the Big Eight and the Big Two and Little Eight back in the early 70s, half a century ago. So I don't really know how we can evaluate either of these two teams except for Penn State playing Ohio State. That's really the only game, the only way we can evaluate either one of them, because Michigan hasn't played anyone. I'd say Michigan has the weakest schedule of anybody in the Power Five. I don't know how you can evaluate them at all. And yet, to me, they look like as good a Michigan team, if you can believe what you see, as I've ever seen. I mean, I would put them up against the 97 team. I'd put them up against anyone Harbaugh has had. I go back to and J.J. McCarthy is playing as well as I think any Michigan quarterback ever has in college. And Michigan's produced a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, so that seems like a bold statement. But, you know, Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady in college. I would put McCarthy's season right here to now up against anybody. And I go back to Rick Leach and Dennis Brown and Moorhead. I mean, I've seen them all, and I think he looks terrific. He's the one wild card in the whole thing. I think McCarthy looks really, really good.
Yeah, McCarthy is a quarterback who does also play well on the road. He last Saturday actually passed Tom Brady on career passing yards at Michigan, and now in McCarthy's sights is Jim Harbaugh, and McCarthy's just 80-some yards away from surpassing his head coach on the leaderboard. But to your point about Michigan's schedule, that narrative can go away if they do indeed beat Penn State this weekend. And then that narrative that some have, that is also factual, they really haven't played anybody, that will definitely be used against them tenfold if Penn State beats Michigan on Saturday. But let's evaluate Penn State's quarterback, Aller, who has 20 touchdowns on the season, just one interception. But as good as that stat is, I did a little more digging of the NCAA statistics, and right now Penn State ranks 121st in passing yards per completion. Passing offense ranks 75th. Then team passing efficiency ranks 54th. You said that Aller last week looked as good as he had since the West Virginia game, which was Penn State's first game of the season, a 38-15 win. Aller threw for 325 yards in that one. Could you evaluate him just in totality this season? Obviously, the 20 touchdowns to one interception, heck of a ratio there. But what are the major strengths and weaknesses to his game?
Well, again, we really haven't seen a lot against quality opponents. Penn State has played West Virginia, which is a pretty decent non-conference opponent. Iowa, which has a good defense and just a non-entity on offense. And Ohio State. Aller played well in the first two games, not well at all against Ohio State. He was very cautious early. It looked like he had been told, and of course he's not gonna have to let go of these facts, but I think he's been told up until a couple of weeks ago, just don't make mistakes. He's a rookie starter. Be prudent. Don't throw any balls if you have any doubt. And that's the way he looked. He didn't throw an interception in his first, I think it was 311 attempts in his career, which was an NCAA record at the time. But he wasn't making any dynamic throws down the field either. And I think the real problem he had was this wideout crew is not great at all. I mean, they don't get separation. I don't think they run routes very well. This is probably the least impressive wideout crew that James Franklin has had in his 10 years here. It's certainly nothing you can compare to the 2016, 2017 teams where they were very dynamic with guys like Deshaun Hamilton and Chris Godwin and Mike Gesicki, who played like a wideout, even though he was a tight end. They got nobody like that on this crew. They got Keandre Lambert-Smith, who would probably be a number two receiver on any other crew. He's their best deep threat, and then they got a bunch of other guys. They just don't scare anybody. Dante Cephas had a pretty decent game, who is a Kent State transfer who caught a lot of passes at Kent State, but that's a MAC level, and he was pretty much a non-entity until last week against Maryland. So Aller's problem has been he's been too cautious until last week. and his receivers just aren't getting any separation. So you put that together, and there's not a lot going downfield, and it has been a problem for Penn State all year. I mean, all the stats you quoted are nice, but those are the eyeball things that we see every week, and they are a problem in this game because I think Michigan's secondary is really good, and that is a mismatch, Penn State's wideouts against Michigan's secondary, that they're going to have to mitigate one way or another, I guess, with the tight ends, hopefully with some of the running game with Catron Allen. But you can't really start by establishing the running game in the old 60s and 70s NFL mentality. You can't do that anymore. You've got to start from the back and work up because you got to back those safeties off. And I think Mikey Sanders stills looked terrific. Will Johnson's as good a cover corner as anybody in the league. I think Michigan's safeties are going to creep up if they have no respect for anything Penn State can do downfield, and that is the challenge to Penn State.
Moving to the defensive side of the ball, Penn State defense coordinator Manny Diaz has the unit playing at a high clip. Number one ranked rushing defense in scoring defense, they rank third right now. Sacks, they rank first. What has been the secret to success, I guess? Are they really good from top to bottom? Is it a specific position unit that's powered the defense? How do you analyze that Penn State defense?
Well, Michigan fans will remember only last season when they ran and ran and ran on Penn State, and it was pretty ugly. I mean, they did not fare well in that game. They gave up, I think it was 400 rushing yards. They gave up a lot in that game, and I would be surprised if that happens again. But they aren't big up the middle. They are not particularly big or powerful up the middle. So I would expect Sherrone Moore and Jim Harbaugh, if he's there, to test the same theory again. I mean, they do what works. Harbaugh is essentially Bo Schembechler. He's Bo's boy. And if he finds something that works, he's going to test it out until it doesn't work. That's what worked last year. I would anticipate that again. Otherwise, there aren't many weaknesses on this defense. They swarm, they hit, and they can cover. They're sticky in the back end. They are very good at finding advantages against you when they get you in third and medium or long. And that's something J.J. McCarthy hasn't had to do a lot, is throw under pressure, because the opponents they've had just aren't – they're not going to test you. I mean, they've had the bottom end of the Big Ten and Rutgers, who's, I think, the best opponent they've played all year, and not much else. This defense will present problems for them they haven't had yet.
Now, you already prefaced last year, 418 rushing yards for Michigan. That was a 41-17 win for the Wolverines. The year before at Penn State, quite closer of a game, 21-17, Michigan had to overcome a deficit in the fourth quarter to win that one. What do you anticipate this time around? Do you anticipate, what does your gut tell you, closer game?
I'm picking Michigan 24-20. I already said that I anticipate a game a lot like that 2021 game, the 21-17 game. I think Michigan's the better team. I think you have to connect a lot of ifs for Penn State to win this game, simply because their offense, I just don't know how they're going to move the sticks. They're going to have to be very cautious and yet a little bit adventurous, maybe hit some tight ends down the spine. They've got good tight ends in Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren, so that's a possible solution. But you're not going to just power over Michigan. They are tough up front, and you're going to have to be a little bit creative. Yet they don't want to make the big mistake. And Aller's going to have to play his best game of the year. Their wideouts are going to have to do something that we haven't seen him do much of yet. They have gotten very little separation downfield. They're going to have to hit enough plays to stay in the game and yet not make mistakes. I think 24 points could possibly win this game, but I'm not sure Penn State's got 24 points in them. So while I give Michigan, while I give Penn State a lot of credit on defense and a chance to spring a couple of big plays and maybe get J.J. McCarthy to make a couple of big mistakes, I think it's going to take that. I think it's going to take a defensive touchdown. And here we are again. I mean, stringing a lot of hypotheticals together. And when you have to do that, you pretty much have to say, well, is that too many in a row? Aren't we just really concluding that Michigan's the better team? I think they are.
And lastly, I want to get your perspective. You've been to countless Penn State games through the years. Now, Michigan, in recent years, they've had quite a few night games at Penn State. In 2021, it was a day game. This is going to be a day game. Is there a discernible difference as far as the atmosphere and energy in the crowd between a night game and day game against a, you know, top-tier opponent like Michigan or Ohio State?
Yes, Trevor, it's a big difference. I said that before on our podcast this morning, that I think if this had been a nighttime whiteout, maybe they keep it close. That crowd can take you home. I mean, they did against Ohio State in 2016, the only time that James Franklin has beaten Ohio State. The energy of that place at night is a different kind of thing, man. It's different than a noon start on a sunny day. It looks otherworldly with the white pom-poms. It looks weird, and it looks like an enemy bastion. And I'm not sure it looks the same way or feels the same way with a noon kick. But, you know, that's the way Fox wanted it, so that's the way it is. And they're going to have to deal with what they got.
Yeah, I've always felt that way as an outsider, seeing that on television at night. It definitely seems very intimidating and raucous. But we'll see what happens during daylight hours on Saturday. David Jones, really appreciate your perspective. A lot of great insight on this podcast. Would you like to tell folks who are listening how to follow you on social media and how to read your stuff?
Yeah, I'm D Jones Hoop, DJONESHOOP on X. And the website is PennLive, PennLive.com. We're all over the state. We're the most popular website in Pennsylvania. And we have reporters in all the big cities. We're based out of Harrisburg. I live in Philadelphia, but we are the most popular website in the state. And we're the Penn State Bible. So that's who we are and who I am.
Before I get out of here today, I just wanted to take a moment to talk about Manscaped. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why I trust Manscaped. Their newest package contains the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next gen skin safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also has a dual LED spotlights to provide contrast in multiple skin tones, three link setting combs, and perhaps best of all, it's waterproof. Also included is a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. Join the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs and use the promo code BLOCKM20 to get free shipping and 20% off your order. Head to manscaped.com and use that promo BLOCKM20 at checkout for 20% off your entire order. And this has been Trevor Woods from the Block M Podcast, affiliate of the Fan First Sports Network. You can follow me online at Woods Football. And I'll be talking to you all at the conclusion of Michigan Penn State for the post-game reaction podcast. Until then, take care.